Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 244, part 2, the conclusion to Fruitless Vines. Today is Sunday, April 29th, 2012.
Now, see, we borrowed everything. Gee, well, are you going to take anything with you? Are you? You don't even take this body with you. You're a new one. Praise God, I'm so glad I'm getting the new body. This one gives me trouble. You aren't going to take one thing, one blessed thing with you. It's a blessing that you have now. But this is only a shadow of what's going to happen. And so we have a million and one reasons to be humble. Let us be humble, Christians. And let us know that we are no more than any other tree, save only the fruitfulness which God has given us. And next, here comes a lesson. Search. And as the vine is useless without his fruit, so is the profession without fruit. Somebody that does a lot of talking and doesn't give any fruit. And I think a fruitless profession is one who professes but shows no fruit. And as we speak on this message, let us all see whether we have a fruitless profession. I think first, the fruitless profession, how do you know him? What is his character? Secondly, what is the reason he is fruitless? Thirdly, what is the estimation God holds in him? Well, he is good for nothing at all, the Bible says. And fourthly, what will be his end? He is to be burned with fire. Wow. And so number one, where do we find fruitless professors? Oh, man, you don't have to look very far. They're everywhere. Up and down, betwixt, between, beside, over, above us, betwixt, underneath, benigh. All around. In the pulpits, in the pews, prayer meetings, praise meetings, concerts, church choirs, sewing bees. This church and all of the churches, ministers, board members, youth groups, in every church position, in every social position. You may be a false professor among the rich. You listening? You may be honored in the church because of your money. God has given you much wealth. And yet the poor in the church are neglected. Or some kind of a Ferris wheel. Toot, 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 toot. Hey, praise God. Toot, 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 toot. Isn't that silly? And they're missing all the blessings. Pastor Paul! Isn't that a blessing? Jeez. Dumb eyes could just miss. Hey, get that kid back. Sit him on that table. Hey! Stop yelling, screaming down here. Have none of it. Miss it. Woo! Splash! Well, you may be honored in the church, you might have a lot of wealth. Oh, God. You may even roll in sin, but it's overlooked because your name is on 4,000 pledge bricks in the new gymnasium. They do that, don't you know? They you this brick, and they put this brick up there, and it's got your name on it. It seems like every other brick has got Jimmy's name on it, or Polly's name on it. Look, there's one there, there's one there. Well, let's just cone him. Boy, if he quits the church and takes all of his bricks, the whole gymnasium will fall down. Am I making my point? Well, I have to do it with a little humor. Maybe you'll even laugh at yourself, Mr. Build a Building with pledge bricks. Oh, don't get mad. If you leave, the whole building will fall down. Or maybe you may even be a fruitless poor man. You enter the church, the people receive you, feed you, clothe you, and then you turn aside to booze and sex and laziness. You shuffle from one church to another, just a fruitless taker. And so you see, fruitless professors are found in all of God's army, front and rear, from the generals to the privates. They have brought forth the fruit of popularity. Some people are very fruitful of being popular. Oh, good, you're here. I thought it was just such a drag when you're not at our prayer meeting. Where were you? You know our prayer meeting doesn't go nowhere without you. Oh, stop it. It's not me, it's God. Huh? Do you ever hear people say that? Hey, it's not me, it's God. Stop it. Stop it. Oh, come on now. I mean it. It's God. Thank you. Oh, oh, give me any day. Give me Pastor Paul. Oh, I'll take that any day. Ooh. Popularity. Or the fruit of philanthropy. They preach eloquently. And you know, those that preach the law are usually eloquent preachers. Man, they can use them big, long legal words. Did you ever read a legal document? Did you ever understand them? Second party, the first party. You're not supposed to understand them. They're made so they can put loopholes in them. There's the second party, the first party, the third party. Third party says the second party, the third. It sounds like that, who's on first? A Bud Abbott and Lou Costello record? That's what I said. Who is on first? You know, that kind of thing. Well, I seen a TV thing, and it was really good. And I thought it was fantastic. It said, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo. And the two lawyers were talking to the judge, and they were looking up, and the judge was saying, mumbo jumbo? And they said, yeah, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo. Next time I get a hold of one of those legal documents and I'm sitting in a lawyer's office, I'm going to do that. I'm going to say, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo, mumbo. I'm going to see if they'll answer back. Maybe that really is something. I don't know. Maybe that was supposed to be serious on. Is it supposed to be serious on TV? I don't know. It sounded as good as one of them contracts, second party, the third party, the first party, second party said to the first party, and so on like that. If in case the third party is to die, then oh, goodness sakes. Drop dead and throw your money up in the air and let everybody have some of it. But don't they preach eloquently, those that preach the law? Oh, and better yet, the eloquent prophesiers, prophets, they learn how to speak eloquently. But they have not brought forth the fruit of the Spirit. See, speaking in tongues and prophesying, that does not bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Well, it says you can do all those things, but if you don't have love, it's a gong and a clanging cymbal. And then we have to go on and we have to say, well, if you love me, you'll obey me. And if you're going to obey me, these things you see me do, you're doing even greater things you do, you'll get to work. These works that you see me do in the original, these things, these works that you see, you'll do an even greater works. Oh, where in the world did you ever get that? Well, you'll be looking for it. You'll see it. It's in there. You just got dumb eyes, see. You only read the desserts. You ever go and get a menu, and some people, they read all the desserts. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Upside down, sideways cake. Wait till we get done eating and we're going to have dessert. Huh? See, sometimes people only like dessert. Boy, didn't that taste good? Didn't that message taste good? Didn't today's spiritual walk, didn't that taste good to me? I was so filled with the Spirit. And then they have a trial and that's not the Spirit. That's like your kid saying, you're not my mom and dad today. You spanked me. You gave me a hard time. What kind of a mom and dad are you? I only ran the car through the garage. Huh? Oh, that's what we do with God all the time. This is not a move of the Spirit. I'm not happy. Pray tell, what would make you happy? You know, if you're looking to be happy, you'll never be happy. If you're looking to be happy, you'll never... Because happiness isn't something that you find someplace. It's something that you have. You don't have to go looking for it. Happiness, where are you? Woo-hoo! How are you today? I'm unhappy. That's what I am. Terribly unhappy. Tired of living, to tell you the truth. Well, there's probably others that are tired of watching you live too. What are you looking for in this old life? Are you looking for happiness? Happiness! Woo-hoo! All you get back is an echo. Woo-hoo! What is the fruit of the Spirit? Joy. Righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost. Tell when somebody has peace and they got joy in the Holy Ghost because they're not affected by every little trivial thing that happens in their life. Not that you don't have some kind of a reaction to an action, but you don't live there. If somebody sticks you in a garbage can, are you just going to live there because they put you in there? Okay, this is what it is, and I'm just living here. Like that Muppet Show? What is that? The guy comes out of the garbage can? What's that name? What? Oscar, but what is it? Show is it? Sesame Street. It's a pretty seedy show, isn't it? I'm in the dumps today. And so they bring the dump with them. And they're in it. Two legs and two arms sticking out of a dump. They walk over to you, I'm in the dumps. Won't you join me? What kind of a dump did you live in today? Oh, have you had your dump today? Huh? No, they have not brought forth the fruit of the Spirit. Because you see, they are not living branches of the living vine. You want to abide in the vine, don't you? Don't you want to abide in the vine? Sometimes we don't want to abide in the vine because the vine takes us different places. Takes you through some barbed wire. Takes you up a wall you don't want to go up. Man, I feel like I'm crawl on the walls. Oh, well, you're a vine. And then there have been, of course, false professors in obscurity. Modest people who have said nothing and are seldom heard of. They have hid in the pews, they have taken seats, and they have gone out satisfied themselves that their mere presence has fulfilled some kind of a religious duty. Oh, they go into churches all the time. You can see them. They'll walk in the church, they'll go in there, and they said, man, 19 minutes, that priest or that pastor, whatever, he is really getting it down. 19 minutes, that's a record. Got in and got out. Well, I haven't attained that yet. I have never been able to cut it down to 19 minutes. Maybe an enclosing message, but never a message. There's all kinds of people like that. And they'll go into church like they're doing some kind of a religious duty. I went to church for 50 years, but they never received Jesus. Taken their seats, gone out, and satisfied themselves. Well, I went, did my duty. They have been so silent, quiet, retired, mumble-mouthed. The Bible says they are lazy people, do-nothings. And never think that all the fruitless trees are growing outside of the garden. Some are growing right in the center of it. And then we also find many fruitless professors who doubt a great deal. They're always afraid they do not love Jesus. I'm just afraid I don't love Jesus enough. I'm really afraid I don't love Him enough. How can I love Him more? How can I love You more? And so they'll go and they'll get prophesied over by somebody. They'll say, well, maybe you should go to China. You could prove your love over there someplace. Go here, go there. They say, if only I knew I were really His. And they become anxious doubters. You know what they end up saying? I never, ever believed in full salvation. If I believe in anything, I believe that once you are saved, you are always saved. Because you're only saved by the grace of God. And you only work because God works. And God is always working. He doesn't sleep and slumber. But then again, we find fruitlessness in confident men who say, I know whom I have believed. I am certain my sins can't destroy me, but yet there is no fruit. They have the right profession, and they say it all right, but there's no fruit. Next, we have the fruitless professor who never prays, or the fruitless one who can pray eloquent prayers for an hour and a half at a time, plenty of words, but not one speck of reality. A lot of leaves, but no fruit. Great gifts of utterance, but no gifts of consistency. Able to talk well, but not to walk too well. Maybe they can even speak piously, but not one walk is a humble one. And they won't walk with God. They will not humble themselves to walk with God in places they don't want to go. Oh, I believe when we serve the Lord, we serve Him with gladness. I don't know the individual character of all you listening to this radio message or tapes that are going around now. But I do know of fruitlessness. That I do know. It's from the richest to the poorest, from the smartest to the dumbest, from the cutest to the ugliest. And let me wrap it up here. Well, who is the fruitless professor? The man who neglects private prayer and doesn't walk with his God in public. The man who is a hypocrite and cheats in his business, who is self-righteous, or those who live in sin that grace may abound, those who love to hear the truth but never want to live it, who fly high but then do nothing, who talk fast but live slow. Why is it men are fruitless and must be cast away? Because they have no roots. Beautiful professors, but no roots. Like a child pulls the head off a flower and then plants the head of the flower in the ground and it wilts and dies. No root, no fruit. Every time it gets a little bit dry, you don't just pick up your roots and pull them, root yourself up out of the ground. Go running around looking for some kind of a moisture for yourself. God is the one that's going to give the increase. But anyway, listen, I believe we will see soon much transplanting by God. And I think God is going to cause one of these great big fruit hills. And they'll come from many gardens, and the gardens will be called Gethsemane's. A hill leading to the cross. And that's where Christians are. We're in the final hour right now, and we're going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to be on a hill leading to a cross. God is calling an army to do the very same thing. He's going to pull them out. He'll put their roots in water, in the water of the Word, and then just like with your flowers, Debbie, he'll get a little root action, and then he'll transplant them. Well, what is God's estimation of fruitless professors? You know, I thought to myself, you could make a fortune if you could buy some for your price and then sell them at the price they think they're worth. You say they're only worth 2 cents and they say, I'm worth $2 million. Just think if you could sell all those people. And so many people have a good opinions of themselves, what you have gained from their church. Maybe the minister thinks they're just great, or the church, or the... They are respectable people. But see, it's God's opinion that's going to count in the end. Isn't it? Isn't it what God thinks? Paul says, it doesn't mean too much to me that you should judge me. It's what God judges. And then we have those that mix it up. They mix up church and they mix up booze. Church on Sunday morning, I talk to kids all the time. Just ask some of these kids, Johnny, is your father any good to you? No, sir, none at all. He prayed for the Lord to save us, and then after he got done praying, he got up and gave us all the belt. He's the meanest man I know, a real hypocrite. Maybe the wife comes in, her lips are all swollen and puffed up. And then we have the husband who says like this, I think I would have joined the church a long time ago if it wouldn't have been for the miserable inconsistencies I saw in my wife. She is the most miserable, inconsistent woman I ever knew. Happy in praising or bitter in shouting. She has been definitely a stumbling block to me. And then we have the great giver that gives generously to the church, and then the people that work for him, they starve to death. I talked to a young man, he says, yeah, I work for a Christian man, he's my boss, and we all have to stand and we pray for 15 minutes every morning. He gives us 15 minutes, and then I found out why he gave him 15 minutes, because he only paid him like under, you know, minimum wage. So he got everybody there to pray for the prosperity of the business and everything like that. And he didn't pay anything. Isn't that kind of miserable? Oh, what's to become of such a fruitless tree? The Bible says it will be devoured by fire. Anyway, you people listening on the radio that aren't born again, you have to be born again. You must be born again. Today I was downstairs and I led a young man to the Lord. He's working on, he's a court referral, and he was helping him. And he says, "Hey," he says, "I want you to remember me now." He says, I got this Mark town car, the 1981 or 82 town car." And he says, "I got in some trouble, and I'm way behind the payments, and I don't want to lose it." Well, I says, "Let's pray about it." And I says, "Have you ever received Jesus as your personal Savior?" He says, "No." And I said, "Well, let's just pray for you to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." And this young man come to know the Lord today. And he says, "I'm working all kinds of overtimes." I says, "Well, as you work, God will work with you." Guy went out of here rejoicing. A little word before I close here. All of you who are born again, let's examine our own fruit, which can only come from the Spirit. You can't build it up. Do you ever try to see someone that's trying to act like they're a fruit tree? Hope that comes out right. In this modern age, you know, they've changed the words around, so you got to watch out what you say. Huh? Have you ever seen someone that tags themselves as a particular kind of fruit tree? And they'll say, "Well, I have the gift of this and the gift of that and so on like that." And they just, you know, picture themselves as being a large fruit tree with every known fruit there is. Pears and apples and, no, watermelons don't grow on trees. But if they could, they'd be on there. And grapes and every kind of fruit. And they got it all on their tree. No, you're only spirituality, Christians, you listening on the radio. Is to pray God's direction. I think we should start to shout out, "God sent me." Become fruitful. Allow God to prune us. Rejoice in pruning. Rejoice in trials. Pray for revival. I'm not talking about great revival in yourself. So many times we're praying for revival. We need to revive ourselves. I think we need to get more involved. I seen Mickey Rooney on TV the other night. He was doing a talk show. And he gave a Christian testimony. It was just beautiful. He says, "Well," and he talked about different stars. He says, "Well, see, they don't have a personal God." Reason, he says, "Now I got a personal God." "Yeah, but Mickey, you've been married 8 times. He says, "Well, I'm not proud of that. But I have a God that accepts me just the way I am." The problem, he said, with Hollywood is that they don't have a personal God. They don't have a Jesus Christ. The guy started to change the subject, and he says, "No, they don't have a Jesus." Then he went to talk about the things he was in. He's got a Mickey Rooney macaroni. And he's got all these different things going. He's got a place for old people. He's fruitful. He's 67 years old. Look at all the fruit he's giving off. He's starting a thing for old people. Well, I guess from 50 to 100 or whatever. Where they can go and they can do as much or as little as they want, but they have to do something. I think we need to get involved. I think we need to become humble. I think we need to forgive. I think we need to love. I think we need to hunger and thirst after souls. I think we need to stop arguing doctrine. I think we need to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to have one issue, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to preach the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, which after all we're coming to find is not that simple. I think when we do that, there will be coming more and more hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And people will hunger and thirst after Jesus like never before. All the Bible says that would be saved. I hope you got something out of this message tonight. Glory to God. You only work when God works. And God is always working. So, I mean, what's your excuse? There's no excuses. No excuses to lay down. There's no excuses to talk over all the hard times you had all week. Who cares? I want to forget about last week. I got another one coming on. Don't you? I mean, aren't you looking forward to next week? I mean, if you had such a hard time this week, Lord, you must be looking forward to something better. Just a little bit better? No. Give me that old move. Path or paw? Hey. That was enough rain to set me up. I was all in bloom. Well, I know about everybody in here tonight, so we won't have an altar call. Maybe there's somebody out there on the radio that needs to hear the gospel message. Gospel message goes like this. If you'll confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. All it is admitting you're a sinner and coming to know Jesus Christ. And that's as spiritual as you'll ever be the whole of your growth, knowing Jesus. That's it. Glory to God. People, tell you what, you want to be fruitful? Get happy. Well, there is, even the world has a song. Did you ever hear that one? Come on, forget all your troubles, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Huh? I just tell you the truth, if I have to look at one more melancholy face, I am going to walk up behind a person and kick them squarely in the buns. I can't stand it. Honest to God, I cannot stand it. I'm just getting so that, and that's where the whole Christian community, all the charismatics are just, they're into the melancholy bloopers. Man, they're running all over trying to find some wet ground. Huh? And they're all wet themselves. It's really the truth, isn't it? It's an age that has passed. And it was okay for a season, and it made, you know what it did? It made a lot of gospel preaching churches, and it made a lot of us envious of that new life and that froth and that bubble and everything. But then we had to start preaching Jesus Christ in a greater way, and now it's bringing us all into recognizing that Jesus is the one that brings us any kind of thing. It's as simple as it is. But see, we got to get back down there. We got to just get down there where it's just Jesus Christ. And you won't be happy until you go right back to Jesus Christ. Forget all of your so-called spiritual gifts and go back to Jesus Christ, the gift of life. That's a spiritual gift, isn't it? The gift of life? That's it. What good is a tree without soil? And what good is a vine if it isn't grafted in and if it isn't growing? No. Anything you do is because of the grace of God. And if we're any good in us at all, it's all because of the grace of God. And salvation is of the Lord alone. See, all these scriptures point right to Jesus Christ. And that's where you're going to find life, in the vine. That's the only place you're going to find it, abiding in the vine. It's the only place. Go looking around. Go, well, okay, now you don't have to believe this. You're listening on the radio. Go looking around. Claim. Open up your notebooks. I heard a guy on the radio yesterday. He says, you know what? And I just read, he says, the Lord's Prayer is a past prayer. Because, listen, now, it says, now, up until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask in my name and you shall receive. So see, now he was saying the Lord's Prayer, we'll set that aside and we'll go over here. Well, I thought that's kind of a dumb thing to say. Why don't you pray the Lord's Prayer in Jesus' name then? The Lord's Prayer. Teach us how to pray. It was a faith minister. Teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. And which is the most beautiful, compact, most realistic, beautiful prayer. Give us our daily bread. But they don't like that because, see, that doesn't fit in. Set us up for 15 or 20 years. They don't want that. They don't want daily bread. Set us up so we can do a greater work for you. Give us a million, we'll give you half of it back. It almost made me, I almost want to take my fist and put it right through that radio. You know what I mean? I thought, how stupid to argue with God's prayer. Well, that's a different dispensation, you see. Now, yeah, you haven't asked anything in my name up until now. And set aside the Lord's Prayer. And now ask in my name anything, and you shall receive it. Oh. And they all got that southern drawl, you know what I mean? No, You hound dogs out there. You know, they got the same jargon. Let's just call it jargon, because it isn't preaching as far as I'm concerned. It's jargon. And they all talk the same, every one of them. Now you won't anything. On and on and on and on and on. And I believe half of the people that followed that right now are thinking to themselves, oh, please. Aren't you tired of it? I am. There's just only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ that can bring you anything. Joy or peace or power or anything. Not somebody saying, you hound dogs out there now. I don't want to hear no more of that. I'm fed up with it. It's gravy train, you know what I mean? I don't want it. Lord, I want to thank you for tonight, and I want to thank you for this audience. I want to thank you for the radio audience that has helped us financially, Lord, to keep this mission going. And radio audience, again, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness in providing the funds to keep this ministry going. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
There you have it. That was the conclusion, episode 244. That was Fruitless Vines. Be sure to check out Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Subscribe to The Message, and you can do that at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find the show notes as well as scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to join us next Friday for episode 244, Sluggards. Hey, you can listen to Pastor Paul's podcast in bed. Just don't miss The Message. Have a great week. God bless you.